I don't know exactly how many years this Kiruv seminar has been going on, but from the beginning I've become a fixture at this time, and I think I've covered almost every aspect of Kiruv that possibly could be. And I was thinking, what could I add to what I said over the last, I don't know how many years? And I decided that there's an aspect that is auxiliary to Kiruv that is extremely important, that many times is neglected. I once had a Gioris, a convert, tell me the following. She said that she is enthralled and in love with Judaism, but she doesn't like Jews that much. And I told her that it's a package deal. You can't have Judaism without Jews. In fact, the Rambam says that a person can be a tzaddik gomer, fulfill all the mitzvahs, do absolutely no averis, and yet not have a share in the world to come. How is that? He's a poreish min hatzibur. He separates himself from the Jewish people. He's not interested in their simchas, it doesn't bother him, their tzaras, goes out and lives in the desert by himself, keeps all the mitzvahs, but he loses his share in the world to come because he does not have a share in the Jewish people. Torah and mitzvahs and your connection to Yiddishkeit and to Judaism is only through the Jewish people. And therefore I thought I would speak about this idea of how important it is that if you are Makariv people, you understand you're not Makariv them then to the Torah only, you're Makariv them also to Klal Yisrael. And only Kol Yisrael Yeshlem Chelek Olam Haba. It doesn't mean every single Jew has a share in the world to come. It means that we have a share in the world to come as part of Kol Yisrael, as a part of the unit called Klal Yisrael, the conglomerate called Klal Yisrael. And if you're part of that great conglomerate called Klal Yisrael, you have a share in the world to come. And if you separate yourself from Klal Yisrael, you could be the biggest tzaddik in the world. You don't have a share in the world to come. And that's why Talmidei Chachamim, people who are supposed to have an impact on the world, are called Chaverim. Because they are mechubar, they're connected to all the Jewish people, and they connect the Jewish people together. Talmidei Chachamim marbim shalom ba'olam. Talmidei Chachamim are supposed to bring shalom to the world. And the Rambam brings a Gemara in Yevamos in the end of Hilchas Chanukah. Lo nitna haTorah ela lahavi shalom laolam. The whole purpose of Torah is to bring shalom to the world. And shalom does not mean peace and serenity where everybody is calm and cool and collected. That's not what shalom means. Shalom, as the Maral and many, many other Mefarshim explain, shalom means shlemus. The Torah was supposed to bring perfection to the world. And Talmidei Chachamim are marbim shalom. By being Talmidei Chachamim, they also bring perfection. And perfection is not the domain of any individual thing in this world. Only God is perfect. Every other thing that was created is imperfect. And it needs to be connected to other things to gain perfection. Perfection is only when there's a team effort of many, many different things working together. That's what shalom is, and that's what the Torah does. And that's what Talmidei Chachamim do, bring people together, bring Klal Yisrael together, bring the world together. And in that way they bring perfection to the world. In the physical world, there is nothing in this world that is perfect to itself. The Svarno says that when the Rabban Shem created each individual thing, he saw it was good. Vayar Elokim Kitov. And yet on Friday, when he saw the entire creation, he said, Vihine Tov Ma'od. It's very good. Ask the Svarno, what transformed all these good things into something very good? To give you an example of what the Svarno answers, If you take an automobile and you break it down into its components, which where I live they do often, and now you have a lot of parts of an automobile strewn along the lawn. So you have a horn, you have tires, you have a motor, you have a gas tank, you have seats. Each thing by itself is good. It has a purpose. It has a function. You can use the seats as furniture. You can use the gas tank to store liquids. You can use the spark plugs to make a fire. But when you put them all together and they form a functioning automobile, that's very good. The automobile is much better than the sum of its total parts. So too, the world is only very good when everything works together, but any individual thing is very imperfect. And the same thing goes for the social world. If everybody in this world would be doctors, we'd have a very healthy world, but who would take out the garbage? And if everybody were garbage men, we'd have a very clean world, but who would heal the sick? And therefore, for the world to be as perfect as it can be, you need all different kinds of professions and occupations. People who do all different kinds of things working together. That's shalom. That's shlinks. And it applies to the spiritual world also. We pride ourselves that we received the Torah with Taryag mitzvahs. That is a myth. There is no one that could ever fulfill 613 mitzvahs. Not because it's too difficult, because it's impossible. Because there are certain mitzvahs that are only for Kohanim. So if you're not a Kohen, you don't have 613 mitzvahs. So what do you tell me? Kohanim have 613 mitzvahs. Not true. There are certain mitzvahs that are only for non-Kohanim. A Kohen will never fulfill the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen as a father. It's not for him. There are certain mitzvahs that are only for men. No woman could ever do those mitzvahs. And there are certain mitzvahs that are only for women. At least in my lifetime, I'm hoping no one man will ever bring the sacrifice after childbirth. That is a woman's mitzvah. So unless you are a Kohen, Levi, Yisrael, man and woman wrapped into one, which today may be possible, and under most circumstances was not, you can't have Taryag mitzvahs. So what is this myth of Taryag mitzvahs? Who has it? The answer is, we didn't receive the Torah as individuals. We received the Torah ke'ish echad b'lev echad, like one person with one heart. It wasn't just because that was a nice thing to do that we had unity. It was a necessity. Because without that unity, there couldn't be a Kabbalah Satorah on the entire Torah. No one could be makabel all of the Torah as an individual. It's only as the conglomerate called Klal Yisrael that we received the Torah of Taryag mitzvahs. Thinking that immediately after Yom Kippur, when we finally got the Torah, the giving of the Torah was delayed because of the sin of the golden calf, which we are commemorating today. Shviras Haluchos is one of the reasons why we fast on Shivas or Batamuz. This was the day the Luchos were broken, where the sin of the golden calf culminated. So because of the sin of the golden calf, we didn't get the Torah right away. Took a longer time. We got the Torah on Yom Kippur. And immediately after Yom Kippur, Moshe Rabbeinu came down and commanded the Jewish people to prepare to build the Mishkan. Now it didn't take that long to build the Mishkan. They finished it by Chof Hei Kislev, which happened to be Hanukkah. But they didn't erect the Mishkan until Aleph Nisan, a few months later. Now the Rabban Shalom knew how long it was going to take to build the Mishkan. So why did he command them immediately after the Torah was given to go and build the Mishkan? Why didn't he wait till Shvat? And there was plenty of time to finish it till Nisan. It just remained inactive. They put it in storage until Nisan from Chof Hei Kislev. So what was the purpose of rushing the Jewish people to build the Mishkan if it wasn't going to be operative until Rosh Chodesh Nisan? Thinking because the Rabban Shalom was afraid that after Klal Yisrael received the Torah, in their zeal to fulfill the Torah, everybody would run and try to now perfect themselves and learn as much as they could and do as many mitzvahs as they could and think that as individuals they were able to fulfill what that Kabbalah Satorah was. And therefore the Rabban Shalom said, nothing doing. I want you to be involved in a communal project. The communal project of building the Mishkan, which unites all Jews. So no one thinks that perfecting themselves as an individual is what I want from Klal Yisrael. I want Klal Yisrael to perfect themselves as a klal, and each person to perfect himself as an individual as part of that klal. It's important. It's not a contradiction. Person has to try to develop himself as much as he can, but not because developing himself is going to bring perfection, because developing himself is going to create a part of the perfection of Klal Yisrael, and everyone is needed, and everyone is needed to be the best part that they can be. And this was the mistake of Korach. Korach said, "Ki chol ha'eda kulam kedoshim." The entire Eid are holy. Uvesochem Hashem, and God is amongst them. Umadua tisnasu al kahal Hashem. What do we need leaders for? Korach understood that there are two aspects to the Jewish people. There's the kahal, and there's the Eidah. A kahal literally means a congregation. People congregate together, and they do mitzvahs as a force of many. Ein odome yochid oses hamitzvah, l'rabim oses hamitzvahs. There's no comparison of individuals doing mitzvahs or people doing it together. So they understood there's an idea of a kahal. People have to unite together and do their mitzvahs together. There's strength in numbers. But ubesochem Hashem, what do we need you to unite us? God unites us. God is in the Mishkan. The Mishkan, we all camp around the Mishkan. It gives us one focal point to be united. So we're united. What do we need a Moshe Rabbeinu for? A Melech. The Melech's purpose is to be the heart of the Jewish people, to unite them, to give them a focal point. But if everybody is united anyway, besochem Hashem, then why do we need Madua Tisnasu al Kahal Hashem? Why do you have to be a leader over the Kahal? Only have to be a leader in the Kahal if they are not united. And also there's an Eda. Eda either comes from the word Edus. Jews aren't necessarily united physically in the same place, doing things together in numbers. But they're united by the fact that they have the same goals and the same ideas, and they testify to the same values. They could be scattered over the world, but what unites them is their ideas and goals and values. Edus. They all give the same testimony. That's an Eda. And there's a Kohen Gadol. The purpose of the Kohen Gadol is to uplift that Eda and make it holy. But kol ha'eda kulam kedoshim. The entire Eda is holy. So what do we need you? What do we need a Kohen Gadol? What do we need an Aaron HaKohen for? We're already holy. We don't need to have a Kohen to make us holy. Umadua tishnasu al kahal Hashem kol ha'eda kulam kedoshim. And Korach brought a proof that you don't need leaders if everybody's holy and everybody is united. So you don't need a leader. He said, if you have a talus that is kulo trelis, the entire talus is trelis. Do you need a string of trelis on the end? It's all trelis. We are a talus at kulo trelis. And if you have a bayis mole svarim, you have a house full of svarim. So it all has one purpose, one united purpose. You need a mezuzah on the door to direct it. Now where in the world did Korach understand that if you have a house full of svarim, you don't need mezuzah? Maybe you do. How did he know for sure not? And if you have a talis that's all tchelis, how did he know you didn't need tzitzis? I'll tell you how he knew it. Because there was a bayis mole svarim that didn't have mezuzah on it. And there was a talis shekulo tchelis that didn't have tzitzis. The talis shekulo tchelis was a me'il. The Kohen Gadol wore a me'il as one of his 8 special garments. The me'il was like a talis cotton, and it had 4 kanfos. And it was all made of tchelis. It was totally trailless. And it didn't have tzitzis. It had pomegranates and bells, but no tzitzis. So he said, you see, a garment that's kulo trailless doesn't need tzitzis. And there was a bayis mole svarim. There was a room that was full of svarim. And it didn't have mezuzah on it. It was called the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Holy of Holies only had svarim in it. It had the Luchos and the Sefer Torah. Right? Nothing else was there. And there was no mezuzah on the door of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So Yisrael, so Korach said, you see, if you have a talish, a kulo treles, if the entire people are treles, they're holy, what do you need a tzitzis to lead them, to guide them? And if you have a room that's full of svarim, and they're all focused, the entire focus is that Torah, then you don't need a mezuzah to give you focus. So what do we need a Kohen Gadol? What do we need a Moshe Rabbeinu, a Melech? Kol ha'eda kulam kedoshim v'vesochem Hashem u'madua tisnasu al kahal Hashem. What was Yisro's mistake? There's another aspect to the Jewish people. If you're looking for real unity, it's not just that all the Jewish people should be holy and all the Jewish people should be focused on the Ribbono Shel Olam. There's a third aspect. There's Kahal, there's Eda, and there's Yisrael. Yisrael is the third aspect of the Jewish people, and perhaps the most important aspect, because that's what names us, that's what we are. We are Yisrael. We are a part of a Kahal, and we're part of an Eda, but we are Yisrael. That identifies us. Says the Zohar, what is Yisrael? Yei shishim ribi osios l'Torah. There are 600,000 letters to the Torah. That's Yisrael. The simple idea of the Zohar, the way it's understood by almost everybody, is that just like there are 600,000 root souls of the Jewish people, there are also 600,000 letters in the Torah. And every Jew, every root soul of the Jewish people has a letter corresponding to it in the Torah. Beautiful idea. There's only one problem. It's not true. There are not 600,000 letters in the Torah. So what do you tell me? Well, gematria, as you know, plus or minus one or two, doesn't really make that much of a difference. So how many letters are there in the Torah? 304,588. That is not plus or minus one or two. That's 300,000 missing. So I know about 11 answers to that question. The Pnei Yeshua speaks about it in Kedushin on Lamed Aleph. How can there be 600,000 letters in the Torah when there aren't 600,000 letters? And he has about a few terutzim. He says, I know about 11 answers. But Lanias Daiti, you don't need any answers because there is no question. The question would only be if it said, Yei shishim ribi osios batorah. There are 600,000 letters in the Torah. If it would say that, then there'd be a problem. The only thing is, there'd be another problem. It wouldn't spell Yisrael. Yei shishim ribi osios batorah, if you take the first letters of those words, doesn't spell Yisrael. It spells Yisra'ab. In order to spell Yisrael, it has to be Yei shishim ribi osios la Torah. There's 600,000 letters to the Torah, not in the Torah. Which means the following. It echoes another Zohar. The Zohar says, Yisrael v'yoraisa v'kudsha b'richu chadu. The Jewish people and the Torah and the Ribbono Shel Olam are one. You can't take away one part of that equation. It all goes together. You can't just have the Torah and the Ribbono Shel Olam, and you can't just have the Jewish people and the Torah. You have to connect all three things together. And therefore, if Klal Yisrael are separated from the Torah, or the Torah is separated from Klal Yisrael, then there is no Torah, and there is no Klal Yisrael. So, Yei Shishim Ribui Osios La Torah. There are 600,000 root souls of the Jewish people, and you have to add them La Torah to the Torah to make the Torah complete. The written Torah has 304,000 letters, but it's incomplete. It's only completed when you add the 600,000 letters that are composed of the souls of the Jewish people. Then the Torah is complete. And therefore, every Jew is a different letter, and every letter is different. And don't tell me that there are only 27 different letters in the Aleph Beis, because it's not true. There are 27 different letters. But every letter is defined by its position in the Torah. The Beis in Bereishis is not the same Beis in the word Bara. Because the Beis in Bereishis has nothing before it, and a Reish Aleph Shin Yud Tav after it. And the Beis in Bara has a word before it, Bereishis, and a Reish Aleph after it. So its position makes it unique. Every letter is unique. Where it is positioned, what Sefer, what Pasuk, what precedes it, what comes after it. Every Jew is unique. Many, many different neshamas. 600,000 different neshamas. Everybody has his place and his time and his unique characteristics and talents and abilities and capabilities. And it makes him unique. And it's only when all 600,000 letters are there, just like in a Sefer Torah. If you don't have all 304,000 letters in their proper place, you have a 300,000 yuds, great letter of yud. But it's not a Sefer Torah, it's 300,000 yuds. It's only when every letter is there and every letter is in its proper place do you have a Sefer Torah. It's only when you have all 600,000 neshamas of Klal Yisrael, each one developing their tremendous potential, unique potential, and they're all there in the right place, then you have a complete Klal Yisrael and you have a complete Torah. So there's another purpose to a leader. Even if everybody is kulo kodesh, everybody is 100% holy, everybody has brought out their spiritual potential, and ubesocham Hashem, and they're all focused on the Rabbanu Shel Olam. They all have that unity. Very nice. But you know what you need? You can have a symphony orchestra. Every single instrument, every musician is perfect. He's developed his potential completely. This one knows how to play his saxophone perfectly. This one knows how to drum his drums perfectly, and so on. So you don't need somebody to teach them how to do their part. You know what you need a conductor for? To tell them how to coordinate all their parts together. You don't need the leader only to make you Kodesh. You could develop your Kedusha if you have perfectly yourself. And you may not need a leader to give you focus and unite you under the Rabbanu Shel Olam. Everybody is focused very nicely. But you need a leader to be a conductor, to be a symphony conductor, to be able to coordinate where everybody uses their perfect talents, their perfect kedusha, their perfect focus, but they coordinate it one with the other. That's also the purpose of Yisrael. That's also the purpose of a leader. And therefore, thinking that, you know, the Leviim, who are the leaders of Klal Yisrael, were not part of the 600,000. So 600,000 osios LaTorah only includes Klal Yisrael without their leaders, without the Leviim. Where are the Leviim? Once thought that perhaps the Leviim are a different part of the Torah. They're not letters of the Torah. There's something else in the Torah. It's called the Sirtut. There are lines that are indented in the parchment, that the letters are written on those lines. And those are the Leviim. Those are the leaders. What is the purpose of the leader? Not to make the letter perfect. The letter's there on its own. But to bring them together, unite them in such a way that they're coordinated together, each letter is written where it's supposed to be, on that line. That's the purpose of a leader. To coordinate all the people together. And then I started making a calculation. How many lines are there in a Sefer Torah? So in a Sefer Torah of 304,000 letters, if you figure out a custom how we write columns, how many words to a column, how many columns, how many lines to a column. So I figured out there are approximately 11,000 lines in a Sefer Torah according to the minig of how we write it. So if there's 11,000 lines in a 304,000 letter Sefer Torah, how many lines would there be in a 600,000 letter Sefer Torah? Double that. How much is double 11,000? 22,000. What was the number of the Leviim? In the Midbar, when there were 600,000 Jews, there were 22,000 Leviim. So the Leviim are the Sirtut. They are the lines that bring the Jews together, put them on one line, one agenda, and coordinate like the symphony conductor, like the orchestra conductor, coordinates them all together. We are commemorating today Shviras HaLuchos, one of the causes of the Chet HaEgel was a distortion of what a leader is. The people panicked. They thought Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't coming back, and they had to find a substitute for him. So they described what they were looking for, the job description of Moshe Rabbeinu's replacement. They went to Aaron HaKohen and they said, Kum asei lanu Elohim asher yelchu lefaneinu. Make us a power that will walk in front of us. They said it in the plural, and they wanted something to walk in front of them. They understood that the purpose of the leader is to do it for you. The leader is there, and he's supposed to be as perfect as he can. And he goes in front of the people, and he is the trailblazer. He does it for you. In this coming week's Shedra, when Moshe Rabbeinu described his job description, asking the Rabbeinu Shalom for a replacement, he described his job differently than they did. He described his job as Yifkod Hashem Elokei Aruchos Ish Al Ha'eda Asher Yetze Lifneihem V'Asher Yovo Lifneihem, who go out from amongst them and go back to them. V'Asher Yotzi'em V'Asher Yidiyem, he'll bring them out and bring them in. What's the difference? I think the difference can be illustrated with the following machlokas. The Gemara says in Bava Basra that if you have mishiyesh lo chola b'sobeis, or somebody who lo aleinu has someone ill in their home, yeilech etzel chacham v'yivakesh olav rachamim. So go to a Talmud Chacham, and seemingly the Talmud Chacham will daven for that person. The Nemuke Yosef says that's why in France the minig was that they used to say a mishaberach by Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos for all the cholim, because that's usually when the Talmidei Chachamim were in shul, and they would answer amen. You fulfill this halacha of yavakesh olav rachamim, going to the Talmud Chacham, and the Talmud Chacham will daven for the person who's sick. The Meiri says something different. The Meiri says you're not going to the Talmud Chacham that he should daven for the sick person. You're going to the Talmud Chacham to teach you how to daven for that sick person. He'll teach you how to daven. The Talmud Chacham doesn't have a more direct line to the Rabbeinu Shalom than any of us have. So what's his purpose? Because some people don't know how to dial, don't know how to push the buttons, they don't know how to make the connection. So sometimes you need somebody to teach you how to dial. And until you learn how to dial, that poor sick person may drop dead. So maybe he'll daven for you temporarily. So it could be that Nemuke Yosef also would agree. The ideal is not that the Talmud Chacham should daven for you. The ideal is the Talmud Chacham to teach you how to daven. That's the purpose of a leader. Not yelchu lefaneinu, not walk in front of us and do it for us. But asher yetze lifneihem, v'asher yovo lifneihem, v'asher yotzi'em, v'asher yivi'em, he'll teach you how to do it. He'll teach you how to be a Talmud Chacham. He'll teach you how to bring out your potential. Every Jew has tremendous potential. Kol ha'eda kulam kedoshim emes, uv'sochem Hashem emes. But there's still an idea of Yisrael. There's a yesh shishim ribui osios la'Torah. Every Jew is important, but he's also only important if he coordinates with every other Jew. And therefore you need a conductor, a symphony conductor, to be able to coordinate all these people together. You need that line that unites all those letters together and puts them into order. That's the leader. That's what a leader is. We also commemorate today Bitul HaTamid. The communal sacrifices were bottled. In that vein, we have in this week's Shedra, Moshe Rabbeinu, after he asked for a leader, so the Rabbanu Shalom tells him the following, before you tell me to take care of my children and appoint a leader for them after you die, why don't you tell them to do what to do for me? And Rashi brings down this chazal with a marshal. A queen is dying. She calls her husband to her bedside and she says, please take care of our children after I go. And the husband, the king, responds, before you tell me to take care of our children, why don't you tell your children to honor me properly? So too the Rabbanu Shalom said, before you tell me, Moshe Rabbeinu, to take care of my children and to appoint a leader, tell them what to do for me. And that's why the next parsha is the parsha of Tmidim and Musafim, all the the communal sacrifices. What does it mean? I was thinking what it means is the following. The king tells his wife, of course I'll take care of our children, because I'm their father. I have to take care of my children. But wouldn't it be better if the children understood why they need me to take care of them? Who I am, what I am. And then it would be an automatic thing, not just because I'm a father, I'll take care of them. I'll take care of them because they deserve to be taken care of. Because they understand what they need from me. And therefore I'd be happy to do if they understand. But if they don't understand, I'm going to do it anyway. But better, they should understand. So too, the Rabbi Mishram said, you want me to appoint a leader. A leader is very nice. But only if the klal understands what potential they have. What are the karbanos sibur? The sacrifices that come from the communal sacrifice means that every Jew has a part in that. And every Jew is unique. And the purpose of the leader is to bring out the potential of each one and to coordinate them together. And if they don't understand what potential they have, then what's the leader going to be able to do? So before you command me what I should do for my children and appoint a leader, first command them how to understand and appreciate why they need a leader, what the leader can accomplish for them, what it can bring out their potential, not do it for them, not yelchu lefaneinu, but yotzien v'yivien, bring out their potential, bring out their unique abilities, capabilities, and talents. And therefore on Shivas Rabbah Tammuz, when the luchos were broken, when they misunderstood and distorted leadership, that's when also butel atamid. If you don't understand the purpose of a leader, you don't understand the purpose of karbanos sibur, of communal sacrifices. And people many times don't understand the importance of a tzibur. Like we said, if you want to be makarev people to Torah, you have to makarev them to the tzibur too. And there are many people who think they can do it without being part of a tzibur, without being part of a kehila. They can do it on their own. Hillel says in Pirkei Avos, Hillel Omer al tifrosh min hatzibur. Hillel said, don't separate yourself from the community. V'al tamin ba'atzmecha ad yom moscha, and don't believe in yourself and trust yourself till you die. Don't judge other people till you come to their place. Don't say on something that can't be heard, that in the end it'll be heard. Don't say when I have time I'll learn. Maybe you won't have time. Very nice things. Five beautiful things that Hillel said. What in the world connection do they have between them? And therefore I think Hillel only said one thing. He said, don't separate yourself from the tzibur. Klal Yisrael needs to be part of a tzibur. You can't do it on your own. The Torah is not the domain of individuals. And if you want to be makarev people the Torah, you have to at the same time makarev them to tzibur, to the kehila, to Klal Yisrael. But people have excuses why they don't want to be part of a tzibur. Why they think they can go it alone. First excuse, I don't need a tzibur. Tziburs are for people who are weak, who need peer pressure, who need a support group. I don't need that. I'm strong. And that Hillel said, "Al tamin ba'atzmecha ad yom moscha." No one is strong enough on their own. Don't believe in yourself. You need peer pressure. You need a support group. Everybody. Second reason people shy away from being part of a tzibur, part of a kehila. Because they say, you know, I'd love to be part of a kehila. I haven't found one that really fits me, right, that is fit to be for me to be part of them. They're all a bunch of who knows what. If I could just find a kehila that was really befitting me, I would really be part of it. But this one's no good, and that one's no good. And that Hillel said, Al todnis chavercha chetagil im komo. You first be part of the tzibur and see people close up. Then it may be that Taka, these are not the kind of people you want to be part of. But don't make that decision from far away. First be part of the tzibur, and sometimes when you see people close up, and you see them in their totality, you see they're not as bad as you thought they were from afar. Third reason people don't want to be part of a tzibur, I always tried to be part of a tzibur, I tried to be part of Kehila, and I gave them tremendously good advice, and they never accepted it. So why would I want to be a part of the Kehillah of all these idiots who don't accept good advice? They don't listen to me. On that Hillel said, Al Tomer Al Dover She'ef Shalishmoa. Don't say on something that's impossible to hear. That in the end they'll see I'm right. Maybe you're wrong. Maybe the reason they don't accept your advice is not right. Don't think that you're always right, and in the end people will realize that you're always right. Maybe you're wrong, and they won't realize you're right ever because you're not. So Al Tomer Al Dover She'ef Shalishmoa She'sofo Lishama. And the last reason people feel they don't want to be part of a tzibur and part of a kehillah is because it's a waste of time. I have to work on myself. I have to do mitzvahs, learn Torah, I have to spend time with my family, which is all true. But Rav Moshe Feinstein says, as much as a person's chayiv to give from his money to tzedakah, meiser, you have to give your time also, meiser. So don't say, l'cha'efna, when I'll have the time because I won't be involved with the tzibur. And I'll save all that time of being involved in communal things. Eshna, I'll learn. Shem Elosipana, do you think that God will permit you to benefit from time you're stealing away from your responsibilities in the tzibur? He'll find other things to take away from you. So don't, those are the excuses. And it could be that Korach, who also was this person who felt he could do it on his own. The Medrash darshens the name of Korach to reveal the essence of his faults. So if the Gemara and the Medrashim darshen the names, we could do it also. One reason why people don't want to be part of a tzibur is Korach, Kereach. They're bald. They don't realize what potential they have. They don't see what they can contribute to a tzibur. And therefore they are Kereach. They don't want to be part of a tzibur or can't be part of a tzibur because they feel they have nothing to contribute. They have nothing to give to that tzibur. It's not true. Everybody has something to give because everybody's unique. And the tzibur needs every single person. Klal Yisrael needs every single person. That's also one of the purposes and the importance of Kiruv, because we can't exist without those people who need to be Mekuriv. Not only they can't exist without us, we can't exist without them. And then there's Yitzhar. Then there's people the opposite. They think that they are like the oil that always rises to the surface. They're above everybody else. And therefore, they don't need a tzibur. And they don't, it's beneath them to be involved with all these lowly people. They're shenen, they're Yitzhar. And then there's kahas. Kahas comes from the word kihui, which means to be overly critical, acidic. Not chasidic, but acidic. Where people are very negative, very critical. Many people can't be part of a tzibur because they're too critical of other people. This one's no good, and that one's no good, and this the tzibur did is no good, and that. If you're too critical, then you'll never be part of a combined, united effort. And lastly, Levi. A Levi comes from the word Levia, to be an accompanying, an escort. Some people just don't want to work. They want to benefit from all the work that other people do. They just want to get a free ride. They want to escort everybody else who puts in the effort in the tzibur, but I don't want to put any effort into a tzibur. Why should I contribute anything when I can benefit from what other people contribute? So if you're a kereah, or a yitzar, or a kahas, or a levi, that ends up to be a korah who can't be part, who's a porish min hatzibur. And that is the third aspect of Shivasa Batamos. Hufka Ha'ir. Instead of having a united city of Yerushalayim with a wall around it, uniting everybody within, creating a conglomerate of Klal Yisrael, the walls are broken, every man for himself. That's also part of Shivasa Batamos. And then that is Sreifas HaTorah, because you can't have the Torah if you don't have Klal Yisrael. Yeshishim ribui osios la Torah. The Torah is incomplete if you don't have those shishim ribui osios of Klal Yisrael together with it. And that's like burning the Torah. And humad selam, you can't have that unity where everybody's united around the Rabbanu Shalom. There is duplicity. It's like putting a pestle, a tselem in the Kodesh HaKadoshim and taking away that unity of Klal Yisrael. Those are the five things that happened on Shivasar Batamuz, And in my estimation, they all represent this idea of the lack of unity, the lack of understanding of why you need a community in order to be a real Torah nation, in order for Klal Yisrael or any individual to be connected to the Torah, he has to be connected to Klal Yisrael. So therefore, if you're going to be Makariv people, and everybody, like Rabbi Kaplan said so eloquently, we're all teachers, and we are all influencing other people in many, many ways. Don't only influence them to Torah and Mitzvahs, influence them to be part of the Klal, part of a Kehillah, part of Klal Yisrael. That's something that's sorely missed today. Everybody thinks that they can make their own Shabbos. They don't realize they need other Jews and they need to be part of communities and part of Kehillahs, especially here in Eretz Yisrael. That's a sorely missed thing, to be part of a Kehillah, to be a functioning member where you benefit from others and you benefit others also. And if we understand this, and we're makarev ourselves to this idea, and surely the people that we bring closer to Yiddishkeit, we don't only bring them closer to Yiddishkeit, we bring them closer to Yidden also, closer to Klal Yisrael, and make them part of Klal Yisrael, then we'll be zoche that all the things that created the need for a fast day today will be corrected. And when will Shivasa B'Tammuz be a yontif? When ha'emes v'hashalom ehavu. You have to love emes. You have to love the Torah and mitzvahs. That is the emes. But you also have to love shalom. You have to understand that shleimus only comes when everybody's united together, when all yidden are able to contribute their unique part and benefit from everybody else's unique part. When ha'emes v'hashalom ehavu. When there's emes and shalom, then you hayomim ha'elu l'sosun l'simcha u'lamoadim tovim b'viyas kol tzedek meherav yomim.